Welcome back to the Grazia Life Advice Podcast. I'm Rhiannon Evans, and it's great to be with you again to hear from another brilliant woman. This time, she was queen of the Geordie Shore before going on to take the crown in the celebrity jungle.
Hi, everybody. I'm Vicky Patterson. I'm a podcaster, and I'm sometimes on the telly. And I am this week's guest on Grazia Life Advice Podcast.
Now, if you know Vicky Patterson, you know she tends to use some industrial language. So there are a few swears in this episode. She's been the star of our screens for a decade and says she's learned a lot since those days on Geordie Shore.
I look back at those times in my life, I had agents telling me, oh, don't leave Geordie Shore. Like, what is there for you outside of this? And you think, you know, if I had been scared, if I hadn't rocked that boat, if I'd stayed in that place that made me an unhappy version of myself, I wouldn't be who I am now.
Her own podcast, Vicky Patterson, The Secret To, is well worth a listen, once you're up to date on Grazia Life Advice, of course. And she says the secret to her own success is hard work.
Like, I will never be late. I will never be rude. I will never take things for granted. I will learn everybody's name, whether they are the director or the runner. Because I know I'm not the most talented person in the room, but I'll be damned if I'm not the most fucking hardworking.
But the biggest lesson of all, she says, is to do your own thing, not what others tell you to do.
That's been a real turning point for me. It's stopping being what everyone else fucking wanted us to be. Or stop trying to be someone else and just being myself. Because you're never truly happy when you're not being yourself. You live a half life. Who wants that?
It's another great chat with some brilliant life tips, so let's get into it. Hey Vicky, how are you today?
I'm all right, thank you. Petal, how are you?
Good. Because we're not recording this visually, we can tell everyone that we're sat in beautiful locations with loads of makeup on and glamorous clothes, can't we?
Oh God, honestly mate, like the state I am willing to record my podcast in. Like, I think it's got progressively worse. So everyone has seen me and knows what I probably look like. So I'm fine. I think they can imagine I've got baked bean stains on my top and bags and down my eyes. That's me.
Yeah, I'm in a half-packed bedroom. Your house looks very lovely, though. I know you're renovating a house at the moment, aren't you?
Do you know what? We've made such a mountain out of a molehill. We've moved into a brand new house. It's absolutely beautiful. I needed to do very fucking little, and I've still managed to do nothing. There are going to be some home renovations. Don't get us wrong. Like, the garage, yeah. I want to be a cinema room and bar. The front of the house, I'm going to make the entrance a bit bigger, so I feel super sassy. But other than that, we just really need furniture. But given the current climate, Brexit, COVID, everything's taking a while. So we are still sleeping on a mattress on the floor, which I've been reassured a number of times by my designer, my joiner, everybody, is coming to an end as of like this week. I just have managed to make something that most people take in their stride be an absolute ordeal, which I think is my forte.
I love that. Have you managed to get some garden furniture? That's what everyone else can't get.
Do you know what? I played a blinder, mate. I don't know how I've managed to do it, right? But I got the nicest garden furniture. And I don't want to turn this into an ad or anything, but the place was only in Brentwood. It was so great. Little studio called Sun's Life. And honestly, it was so quick. So I've got more footman furniture outside than I have inside at the minute. But I'm not complaining. Me fella and the dog are sitting out there on there now. And,
oh, lovely.
It'll all come together, I'm sure, Rhiannon.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, the dog is the big change in your life at the moment. How's he getting on?
Oh, he's a bastard, isn't he? Like, I love Milo so much, and I believe that to be the problem. Like, I never saw myself as the disciplinarian, and I think everybody knew I was never going to be. But just how soft I am willing to be with this little fluffy terrorist is truly unbelievable. He just uses as like a human chew toy. Like, I came, my neighbor's getting married tomorrow and they're lovely, and I just come downstairs trying on a floaty dress for Erkan, and it's hired, it's not even mine, it's like a rented dress, and the dog just comes bounding over. He's been in the paddling pool, he sees all this lovely floaty material, and he's chewing and biting us, and I'm like, Erkan, tell him to stop. Like, even in that circumstance where I risk having to pay for a very expensive dress that I've just rented, I can't discipline this boy. I love him so much. So he's wonderful. It's me that's the problem, I think.
Right. Okay. Now, I wondered, because you've got your own podcast called The Secret To, Are you going to get any dog trainers on there? I mean, that might be, because tell people what the podcast is about. It's about, you know, the secret to people's success, isn't it?
That's correct. So we launched, I can't believe we've been gone for almost a year and a half. That's just blown. Wow. But yeah, it's called Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. And it's born out of complete selfishness. I'm so nosy. I want to know everybody else's business, how they were surviving lockdown, how they got over a bad breakup, what it feels like to be fabulous at 40. And that's what it is. I speak to my guests, and yes, I get all the goss, find out if they're watching Love Island, find out how things are with their fella, whatever. But also, I get their secret to something. And like I say, we've had some very varied ones over the year. We had Eamon Holmes' Secret to Longevity, obviously long and successful Happy Marriage with Ruth, but not only that, he's such a successful and long-running podcaster. Kelly Brook, The Secret of Feeling Fabulous at 40. Russell Cain, The Secret of Surviving Lockdown. We just get these amazing guests to share a couple of pearls of wisdom. So all of our listeners can have a bit of a nice takeaway. It's lovely to have a chat and have a laugh and feel like, oh, that was a nice little way to spend an hour of your day. But we want to give them a takeaway as well, which I just think is important. It's nice to come away feeling like you've learned something as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And we're going to flip the tables today. I'm going to make you give us some advice. So, yeah. I have seen some...
I'm wearing a different hat today. I hope it's going to be all right.
I just wanted to ask, is that yours are all great. Are you one for motivational quotes and, you know, using pieces of advice that you hear out and about normally?
Oh my God, yeah, I'm such a wanker for all that. Like, whenever I get a guest on, they'll be trying to tell me something, and I feel like if I had a tenner for every time I said, it's like that saying, isn't it? And then I spout something I've read either in a book or on Instagram or heard from a family member or a friend or another lovely guest. And yeah, I do. I love them. I live by these little mantras and little motivational quotes. They bring me so much solace and hope.
Yeah.
And I think in a year that we haven't had an awful lot of stuff to celebrate and an awful lot of hope. So I think whatever does it for you. So I'm unapologetic.
Yeah. Well, let's get straight into it, because your first one, I'm straight away, I want to hear why this is important to you. It's keep your love letters and throw away your bills. Tell me about that.
You know, I absolutely cannot take credit for this one. I'm such a thief. I'm a thief. this is from Baz Luhrmann Sunscreen. Are you a fan?
Yes, yeah.
Oh my God. So I was first played this years ago at a boot camp and cried openly when I heard it, like wept, which is not unheard of for me. I'm such a fanny. But it really resonated with me, and its words have stayed with me ever since, in particular this one. I'm obviously not suggesting anyone make terrible fiscal situations decisions, but what I glean from this, right, and I've taken a really broad look at it, is often in life we remember the negative. We fixate on the bad stuff. My dog has just managed to open the door. Hello.
Oh no.
You're so clever, aren't you, Mr. Milo? Sorry. So yeah, so we fixate on the negative, the bad. We let the nice stuff just wash over us without giving it its the credit it deserves, without understanding its gravity. And often I do this on social media. This is the main place for me. So I can receive, like, I can put up a post and there will be hundreds of people, thousands of people like it, say nice things, tell me I look good, say thank you for bringing this to their life, say, God, this was what I needed to read today. But you know what I'll reply to, or what I'll fixate on, or what I'll still go to bed that night thinking of? It'll be the one prick who said something nasty to us, who told us, like, I was self-absorbed, or who told me that who did I think I was? I was just an influencer, or, you know, like whatever nasty comment that they write, that'll be what I go to bed still thinking of. And I'm working on it. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're all just like working on ourselves, aren't we? I kind of want to be better at that. I want to throw away my bills and keep my love letters. So every time someone writes something nasty or something that makes me feel bad about myself, I have to just think, like, you know, they could have been having a bad day. Like, this is no reflection on you. It says more about them. Instead, why don't you focus on the thousands of other lovely things that people have said to you? The empowering stuff, the motivational stuff, the kind stuff. Mm. And I think we could all learn to throw away our bills a bit more and hold our love letters closer to home.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking a minute ago, Vicky, you've got 4.5 million followers on Instagram. I mean...
Well, I think it's 4.8, unless something's gone wrong in the last hour. Everyone's had a mass exodus.
Apologies, 4.8. That was me misreading.
No, you're fine. They look similar. I think they're both curvy numbers, right?
What is that like, putting up a post thinking, are 4.8 million people going to think this is idiotic?
There's always a level of anxiety. I think everybody feels that before they post. Mm. It's an open platform, and unfortunately, social media has given everybody a real feeling that they have a right to say anything they want, regardless of the ramifications. And sometimes my posts are well received, you know. I did a lovely one about, despite the fact that Love Island was coming out and we're going to be inundated with perfect bodies, we should love our own and celebrate our own regardless of the shape or size. And that was really nice. You know what I mean? Like, I love the reaction that got. But then sometimes I can put up posts and it feels like barely anyone likes them or barely anyone sees them. And there's not much interaction, you know? And I've got to take that on the chin. And the even more difficult pill to swallow is when people are offended by what you post. I posted a picture of Harry Kane and Raheem Sterling the other night, and people took offense to the order in which I posted them. Right. I'm not a huge football fan. Like, Jesus Christ, I don't pretend to be. Yeah. I just thought it was really lovely that England had won a game that nobody thought we were going to win, and we had, as a country, something to celebrate coming off the back of a year when we haven't had much to celebrate. But you can't please everyone. And the order with which I chose to post them, Harry Kane first, just because I thought he's my fucking captain, and Raheem Sterling second, seemed to trigger some people. And you know, it's difficult. It's difficult walking that fine line. It's difficult trying to keep everyone happy. And when you have a platform that size with as many people following you as I do, it's something I've come to have to learn, that you're not going to please everybody, and you are going to have to either take it on the chin or defend yourself. And I think it depends on how I'm feeling that day, which course of action I choose to take.
Yeah. And I guess it comes with running a truly organic platform as well, right? You've not got a manager in the background writing the captions for you or anything, have you?
Do you know what? I fucking wish sometimes, because honestly, I could just be, if someone didn't like it, I could just be like, well, it wasn't me. Take it up with the agent. But I'm a major control freak. I'm actually very proud of what I've cultivated on social media over the years. I endeavour to use my platform responsibly. I don't take myself too seriously. You know, it's not all just perfectly curated pictures of me looking flawless in a bikini. That's bullshit. It brings no substance to anybody's life. Instead, like, I try and make it a really, like, natural place where I show the highs and lows of my life, the ups and downs. I truly believe you can't have light without shade in life. So I couldn't relinquish the control of that to somebody else and still feel so proud of it. It's me. If you like it, yay. If you don't, I'm sorry. I have to accept responsibility for that as well.
Yeah. It links to your second piece of advice, which is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. I always trip over this one. I mean, tell me for you what it means.
So coming from the background that I've come from, which is reality TV, there are a lot of preconceived notions that we are thick, that we are lazy, that we are talentless, that we don't deserve to have the things we've got. And I am making a sweeping generalization here. Of course, some people don't believe that. But in particular, the show I came from and how hard I've had to try and work to get rid of that image and also break that mold and make people understand I'm different and all the rest of it hasn't been easy. So yes, I know I can't kick a football from the halfway line and score a goal. I know I can't sing, painful voice. I know I can't dance, kind of like an ironing board with arms. I know I do nothing to warrant any merit, and I am probably what a lot of people would describe as talentless. And like, I don't fight that at all. Like, I'm very transparent. I am really grateful to everybody for keeping me where I am for as long as they have. Like, I'm going on like 10, 11 years in the industry, I think. So I always say, like, I know I haven't got like amazing abilities and stuff like that, but like, I guarantee I'll be the first person in the room. Like, I will never be late. I will never be rude. I will never take things for granted. I will learn everybody's name, whether they are the director or the runner, and I will make sure everybody knows how grateful I am to be there. And that's something I've endeavoured to do, like, for the past, I definitely say, like, 7 years. I think when I first got into the industry, I was extremely ill-equipped to navigate, with, like, the position I was in and the journey I was on. But once I became aware of, you know, how lucky I was and how far this could go and stuff, I've always tried to be that best version of myself and work as hard as I can, because I know I'm not the most talented person in the room, but I'll be damned if I'm not the most fucking hardworking.
Yeah. And you and I both know from different things we've done in the past with lots of other celebrities, that's not always the case, is it? Not everybody is the most polite and think and realises why they're there or wants to work hard. So, you know, I do think there is merit in that, absolutely.
Oh, thank you. You know, I think, like, it's super subjective. Like, there might be some people in the realm of reality TV who don't work that hard or who aren't interested in being nice to everybody, you know what I mean? Or don't want to work for years and years. Like, they just want 5 minutes in the spotlight and they're done. Like, I get that. But there's also people like that in every walk of life. So I do believe sometimes we get kind of like an unfair reputation. But I'm not here representing all of reality TV. I'm not here representing anyone other than myself. So that's my mantra, always endeavour to work hard and treat people with respect, I suppose. Yeah.
Your third piece of advice is to be yourself because everyone else is taken. And I think something you hear, but not that everyone practices, right? Tell me about that for you.
Oh, God. You know, I've always struggled with my identity, which is weird because when I was growing up, I was like so secure and so confident and really happy to just be who I was. I feel like I probably appeal to more people now. I've calmed down a bit. but yeah, I think it's really hard. Especially when you're younger, like my 20s, I was so insecure, so racked with self-doubt, so desperate to just be like everybody else and desperate to just be what everybody wanted me to be, you know? And whether it was like people online or the producers on Geordie Show or someone at MTV or a journalist, anyone, like I wanted to be so much what they wanted me to be, everything my boyfriend wanted me to be at the detriment of my own fucking sanity. You know, and we've all been there. We've all done it. We've all toned ourselves down to make a man find us more appealing. You know, we've been less strong, been less confident, been tried to dull our sparkle to stop them feeling emasculated. And it's kind of pointless. You're honestly on such a hide into nothing, trying to be anything other than yourself. It's so sad that we waste so long of our youth, which is supposed to be like our really exciting fun years, trying to be someone we aren't. Like, since I've turned 30 and kind of really embraced exactly who I am, whether that be super opinionated side, whether that be really emotional side, whether that be my lumps and bumps and squishiness, whatever it is, like, I've totally embraced it. And the feeling of liberation I've had since then is completely overwhelming. I'm so at peace with who I am. Like, I'm so happy. I'm so content. I'm able to have a really loving relationship with a wonderful man because I love myself. And I think that's been a real turning point for me, is stopping being what everyone else fucking wanted us to be. Or stop trying to be someone else and just being myself. Because you're never truly happy when you're not being yourself. You live a half life. And who wants that?
Yeah. And you mentioned being 30. I mean, what is that, just something that came with age for you? Was there a moment where you were like, not doing this anymore? Where do you track that change?
Unfortunately, like, I have no real tricks for anybody. I'd love to tell you, oh my God, do this, and then you just love yourself, because being the little businesswoman that I am, I'd fucking bottle it and sell it. I think leaving Geordie Shore was a huge turning point for me. For years, I'd kind of gone down a bit of a, I'd say, unhealthy wormhole. losing more and more of myself as I created this TV persona, like a caricature of myself. So removing myself from that quite toxic environment was a huge turning point for me. A couple of years ago, I had just turned 30, which did really help a lot. Like, age, I just credit to so much stuff. Like, think, yeah, like anybody panicking about turning 30 or 40 or 50, like, obviously I can't speak for 40 or 50, but like, I know my mom's 60, I know I'm 30, and honestly, I think it just gets better as you get older. Like, you just get more happy and more content and more sure of yourself, which is a lovely way to be. But yeah, if you've ever had a bad breakup, if you've ever lost somebody, if you've ever been forced to like be on your own and really feel your feels, I guarantee it's tough, but what comes out of it is often amazing. And that was what I realized like, I just want to be myself, and it makes me so happy now.
Yeah, and that's great, isn't it, that you can come out the other side. Yeah,
yeah, 110%. But you always come out of it sassier and stronger and better. Like, there's that saying, isn't there, the comeback is always stronger than the setback.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not one of me six. That's just for free for you guys. But it's true.
Definitely. We'll be back with more from Vicky after this.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.
I'm still here with Vicky, and I'd love if you could share your fourth piece of good advice with us.
My fourth piece of advice is never sacrifice respect for attention.
Right.
When you're younger, you assume that like wearing less clothes and getting loads of attention is great, you know? And I honestly remember like arguments with my mom, like, are you going out? You're not going out the house dressed like that. And me being like, you don't understand, it's fashion. And like, it wasn't fashion. I just had both my tits out and my legs out. I just wanted, like, you just feel like that's how you get your validation. And I suppose it's incredibly misguided. And I can see as an adult, like, why my mum was so against it and stuff. But it goes further than clothes, doesn't it? It goes to what you're willing to do to keep a man. It goes to sacrificing your own happiness to keep them happy. It goes to like doing things that don't make you feel comfortable with your friends just to make sure they feel like you're cool, you know? And for me, it was definitely in my job as well. I contorted myself into this caricature of a person in order to keep producers and viewers and everybody happy on Geordie Shore, and lost so much sight of who I was and why I was actually doing it in the first place, you know? Like, I didn't care why I was in the press when I was younger, as long as I was in the mags, you know? Yeah. But like, now I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, if I'm not in there doing something for body positivity or promoting a brand I believe in or talking about like something lovely, then just, I do not want to be in it, you know? The last 7 years of my life, I have spent working incredibly hard to make sure to claw back some of that respect, to make women see me in a different light, you know, not just that gobby, aggressive, young, very lost girl that first exploded on the TV 10 years ago. I would love to give my younger self that advice. I wouldn't listen. Like, I'd be so foolhardy, as we all are at 18. But I would love to.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking today as Love Island's not long started. How do you feel when you see new crops of people come in? And I wonder, do you ever like mentor people? If you see people at parties, do you ever take anyone aside and go, look, bit of advice?
Oh God, I wouldn't dare walk up to someone, you know, like, what right have I got? Like, everybody's journey is subjective, and I can't, like, it's so different. Like, Geordie Shore was like a proper grower, not a shower. We exploded onto people's scenes, but we worked for like some people are still on it now, but we worked for 5 years to have a platform, you know. These young people on Love Island, they have between what, 1 week, 1 day, some of them only get, and 8 weeks, God, if you're lucky enough to go the distance. It's difficult. Like, they must come out to so much press and media attention and such a giant platform, like 1 million plus followers, whatever. And it must be so, so hard. I can't relate to that.
Yeah.
If anyone from Love Island ever wanted any advice, like new cast or old, like I'd always be here, like the sort of reality TV veteran that I am, Grandma yeah. Vicky in the corner. But I wouldn't dare offer it freely. Like, certainly, like, they're in for a wild ride, and I just wish them the very best of luck. Like, part of me is like, fucking hell, thank God I was too old for Love Island, like, you know? And the other part of me is like, God, I would have smashed that in my 20s. I'm so conflicted. I feel like...
I know, that would have been amazing. The underboob, I just don't think I could ever pull off the underboob.
No. Oh, I have too much tit for an underboob. It just ends up being a full boob.
Your fifth piece of advice, and we have, you know, we've kind of touched on this, but it's that rock bottom will teach you things mountaintops never will, which is a really nice way of saying, you know, essentially what we were talking about earlier, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, honestly, mate, this is one of my favorites, and I'm writing a book at the moment, and it appears in there like multiple times. There've been so many times in my life where I've thought, you've really done it this time. You've really done it. And whether that be like in a personal capacity or a professional capacity, like, I've made mistakes. I'm a highly sensitive person, so I probably beat myself up over them more than the average Joe. I think there'd be moments in my life where I thought, like, there's no coming back from this. And those are the points in my life where actually I've learned the most about myself. And I've also learned the most about the people around me. It's really easy to be friends with someone who's very successful. But being with someone, being friends with someone, or going out with someone who has made a mistake and is feeling low or whatever, like, that's when it's difficult. That's when it's hard. When you are low, when you've made a mistake, when everyone's against you, yes, you find out who your friends are, and like real family and all the rest of it, but you also just find out who you fucking really are, you know? Like, are you that person who gives up? Or are you the person who holds her hands up and says, I've made a mistake, I'm young, I'm learning, I'm growing, and I'm going to promise to do better. Like, that's all you can ever be. We're human. And when you are in those, like, those rock bottom situations, you prove to yourself and everyone around you who you fucking are and what you're fucking made of. And it's, honestly, you'll surprise yourself. You will surprise yourself. Everybody does. We are powerful beyond measure as women. And I'm not talking to boys here, but I'm assuming it's mostly girls who are listening to this podcast. Yeah. So I feel like I'm safe. Yeah, we are powerful beyond measure. And it's about time we started recognizing that.
I love that. Vicky, can you tell us your sixth piece of best advice? Your last one.
My last piece of advice. Oh, I really like this one. And it conjures up a lovely sunny image in my head, like a summery vibe. Don't let your ice cream melt while counting someone else's sprinkles.
So nice. But explain it for you and how it's worked for you in life.
God, we can so easily get wrapped up in thinking everybody else's grass is greener and coveting other people's life based on what we see on social media or what we see in magazines or what we see in the TV. And I've definitely been guilty of doing it. You know, like, who amongst us hasn't been having like a really nice day and then they've opened up Instagram and seen that someone's had another baby, or someone's getting engaged, or someone's bought a new house, or so-and-so's got that job, or so-and-so's lost weight. Or, do you know what I mean? And before you know it, you feel like a bag of shit. You feel like your life isn't so great anymore. And why? Like, why, when you woke up in a perfectly good mood, has opening an app, for God's sake, taken away all of your joy? And I truly believe that comparison is the thief of joy. When you're in a good mood, it's easy to be happy for others. But when you're sad, when you miss your mom, when you're on your period, when you're having a bad day, when you've argued with your fella, when your dog's chewed your favorite shoe, it's not as easy to be a nice person. And that's just a fact. There's nothing negative about that. It doesn't make you a bad human, okay? It makes you a human, in fact. And I think when you go on social media in those moods, that is when you start on a really negative downward spiral and just a very unhealthy trajectory. And before you know it, you're ignoring the things you have that are great in your life. Your ice cream is melting while you're counting someone else's sprinkles. Be sure to be counting your blessings before you covet someone else's.
Yeah. And do you ever take a social media break? Do you ever think, oh, I shouldn't go on Instagram today. That's not for me.
Oh, mate, I'm such a self-harmer when it comes to the old social media. And I think we're all, it's relatively new juggernaut, so we're all just discovering a lot about it. I don't know any successful person who wouldn't recommend prolonged periods of absence and breaks from social media. Like, for me, it's really difficult because it's my job. But of course, then you look and you've got that Wednesday scheduled post with that clothing brand, or you've got that Sunday post with so-and-so, and it's just not possible. Also, I just encourage you to put your phone down in general. I spent a really great week last week with like loads of me pals. We went to friends first. Then I drove up north, had some time with my family, rented this big house. And I kind of had went to post something on social media about it and realized I've got no photos from this weekend, which is a great sign. Like, it's a great sign. Like, I encourage people to spend so much time with people who forget, make you forget to look at your phone. Mm. So if you are ever struggling with the bittersweet, like, so the thing that is social media is Instagram, just take yourself away and spend time with some lovely people who make you forget to look at it, you know? Because it is a double-edged sword, and it is a difficult one to navigate.
Definitely. And we've talked a lot today about, you know, learning from the bad times in your life. So we do always like to finish on a bad piece of advice, you know, the one that was best ignored.
What a somber note.
I know people always say that, but it will come up positive, Vicky, I promise you. Tell me what that was, the bad piece of advice that you should never have listened to or shouldn't listen to.
It's so generic, but like for me, I've been told it a number of times in my life by various, and it's always fucking men. I'm so sorry. I sound like I'm such a man hater here. But it is. It's always men. And it's don't rock the boat, Vicky. Mm. Don't rock the boat. Why shouldn't I rock the boat? And who are you to tell me not to rock this boat? You should rock the boat, ladies. You should explode onto the scene. An explosions of colour and brightness and sparkle and be your best authentic self. Like, if you're loud, be loud. If you're sassy, be sassy. If you're fucking strong and don't take shit, be strong and don't take shit. The people who tell you to tone down your sparkle, the people who tell you to don't rock the boat, they're intimidated by you.
Yeah.
Your brilliance, your power shows them something they haven't yet cultivated in themselves or are scared to grow. And you intimidate them with your brilliance. Don't let them hold you back. Be brave, be beautiful, be everything you want to be and rock that boat as much as you want.
See, Vicky, I told you could make it positive.
Positive or passionate? Downright crazy, both. I felt at one point there, but I just feel so, when I look back at those times in my life, I had agents telling me, oh, don't leave Geordie Shore. Like, what is there for you outside of this? And you think, you know, if I had been scared, if I hadn't rocked that boat, if I'd stayed in that place that made me an unhappy version of myself, I wouldn't be who I am now. I wouldn't have Erkan. I wouldn't have this house. I wouldn't have got in the jungle. I wouldn't be me. So rock the boat, lasses. Yeah. And honestly, as quick as you can, get rid of anybody who advised you not to.
Definitely. Vicky, thank you so much. I just feel like we've learned loads there. So I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. I hope I haven't booted the face off you a bit too much there. I tend to get quite emboldened.
No, I loved it. Thank you. So brilliant to have Vicky Patterson with us. As ever, thank you for joining us too. Please rate and review Grazia Life Advice in your podcast player. It really helps us out and helps us reach new people. See you next time.